That's right.
Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast.
Usual Friday.
Hey, what is up everyone? It's Talk About It Friday, another great episode, and today's guest is Lisa Londes, an entrepreneur from Cambridge. She is a mum of three boys. Lisa is a network marketing professional and has been in health and well-being for 3 years. Lisa also designs and creates personalised frames. Hey Lisa, thank you ever so much for coming onto the show and joining me and Nicole. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
We'd like to stop you right there for a minute, Wayne.
All right.
And we'd like to say something to Lisa today, wouldn't we?
Yes, absolutely.
You ready?
Yep.
Happy birthday to you.
I wasn't planning on singing this. I really weren't.
Oh, thank you.
That's absolutely awesome. Well done, Nicole.
Yeah, no problem. How's your birthday been so far?
Really good, thank you. I haven't, it's been sort of work, but you know how it goes. But it's been really lovely so far, thank you.
That's good.
No, that's really good. So tell us a little bit about you.
So I'm a single mum to three boys. I've got quite an age range with my boys. So my eldest is 13 and my younger two are 5 and nearly 4. I live in Cambridge and I am in health and wellbeing as my sort of main role. And I also have a personalised frame business, which started up last year following my sister's wedding. What would you like to know?
So you said that you're an entrepreneur. So would that just be the two business, like the health and wellbeing and the frame business?
Yeah, at the moment, I'm working on a few other things sort of in the background. And there's a few things that I'm working on developing. I'm working on a website at the moment,
yeah,
which I started building a couple of days ago. And it's not the easiest thing to do if you don't know what you're doing.
Absolutely.
at the moment that's my sort of two main things.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen that you've called your frame business Forever Frames. So would you like to tell us a bit more about what you actually do with your frames?
Yeah, sure. So as I say, it started off following my sister's wedding. The kind of idea behind it was that, you know, we had things that, you know, memories from special occasions, birthdays, you know, I've got like all my cards from when my boys were born and stuff like that. And we tend to kind of just shove everything away in a box and put it in a drawer and never gets looked at again. And basically I wanted to sort of come up with something where people could frame their memories. And you know, yeah, obviously have them on display. So my sister's wedding last August, I went round at the wedding reception and just collected sort of all little bits, you know, from the day and put it all together in this frame. And everyone was like, oh my God, that's really good. You know, you should do some more. And I was like, don't know really. Just kind of did what I did. And it kind of went from there. But it tends to be, most of my orders tend to be, I've had a couple of wedding gift orders, but it tends to be like people's initials.
So like bespoke sort of thing.
Yeah. So they're all bespoke. So I may get ideas, sort of, you know, Googling ideas and then showing a customer kind of the sort of thing that I can do, but they're always made individually. No one is ever done sort of the same. And I've sort of designed quite a few different things, really. Sometimes people know exactly what they're after, and other people are just like, I want something for, I had one that was a lady, she'd got a wedding anniversary of her husband. She wanted something for him, and she was like, I don't really mind what you do, just come up with something. So I was like, okay. So it can vary, really, in terms of, you know, what I come up with. But obviously always working closely with the customer and you know, sort of I'll upload pictures along the way and see what they think and, yeah, you know, definitely. Change things. Or sometimes I kind of have an idea and put something together and then I think, actually, do you know what, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was kind of the idea behind it. And it's something I really started to enjoy doing. I find it quite therapeutic.
Mm. Yeah, I know what you mean.
yeah, I think kind of get submersed in it, you know, and yeah, it's quite a good way of escaping things sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to say as well is that some people are really lucky to have memories. I've probably got one photo of when I was a child.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, you know, obviously, is this some sort of background, like, are you the family that builds memories and, you know, saves them memories?
No, I would say. I mean, we're quite a creative family. My sister had a cake business and she's very good at baking and so on and decorating stuff. Whereas I can't bake cake to save my life. but I seem to be sort of have a quite good eye with colour and sort of coming up with things.
Hmm.
But no, we're not particularly, I mean, I've got very few pictures of when I was a child. We don't sort of, due to things that happened, we don't tend to sort of talk much about our childhoods.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, when my boys were christened, they got given quite a few lovely little keepsake bits and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, they're just shoved in a drawer and I want to be able to look at them, you know, not necessarily display them, but to have them out. So I've got my son's christening things in a frame. It's so easy to box stuff away and forget about it. You know, and for some people they do have very fond memories, you know, things from their wedding day and so on. And so, yeah, that was the idea behind it. But no, we're not particularly sort of one for memories as such.
Yeah. So obviously, like, you building memories with your kids now, obviously that's mm-hmm. you know, that's something, like, because the way I see it is, going back to when I was a child, is that, you know, saying that I only had one photo, which is, you know, absolutely true. I mean, it's good to, like, with our son, is that we build memories and we want to be able definitely. To give him their memories. So yeah, that's, yeah, it's weird, isn't it, as we were, as, you know, kids.
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose as well as, I mean, I'm obviously a year older today and I think I'm quite a bit older than both of you. but in terms of, you know, the sort of, when I was younger, I suppose mobile phones and stuff weren't such a sort of big thing. You know, everyone had photo albums. Whereas now, you know, we're sort of, everything's more digital and you immediately pick up your phone, don't you, and take lots of photos. And so I think with things sort of moving on in terms of that way, but yeah, I mean, I think now for us, you know, for our children, it is all about making memories, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, definitely. I know you said, like, you had a troubling childhood there. Did you want to talk about that, or is that something you just like to keep separate from your life now?
An erotic novel by Kyle Cannon, The Photographer Story, now available on Amazon.
No, I'm quite happy to talk about it. It's something in a way that I'm sort of looking to bring into my business as such. So I'm quite happy to share bits and pieces. If just you'd
whatever,
like me to.
Yeah, just whatever you want to share, as you like, because you're the one that's gone through it. So
absolutely.
What you want people to know is important, not what we want to know. So do what you've got to do.
Okay, so yeah, it was a difficult childhood, difficult upbringing. I was very, very close to my granddad, and he passed away, I think I was 11 or 12. And that was a very significant time in my life because, you know, given everything that had happened, we were extremely close and he was kind of my everything. And I always felt like he was the only person that ever really sort of truly loved me and, you know, sort of made me feel like I was kind of special, I suppose. You know, I was always kind of brought up to believe that I was stupid and worthless and all those sorts of things. And obviously, you know, when you're told something over and over and over, you kind of get used to it and you kind of start to believe it. When I was very young, I think it was just before my sister was born, so I was maybe about 5 or 6, I was sexually abused by 2 family friends. Yeah, it took me, well, I didn't tell anybody. It didn't go on for very long, but I didn't tell my mum until I think I was about 19 or 20 before I told her. And it was really bizarre because obviously, you know, I think I'd kind of suppressed a lot in my mind. But at the same time, it was always at the forefront of my mind because kind of everything that had happened, you know, it was affecting how I was growing up. It was affecting the person that I was. My mum was in 2 quite abusive relationships as well. So, you know, we were sort of brought up in very violent situations.
I can relate.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. And it, you know, it has an impact, doesn't it?
Of course.
Sometimes people don't appreciate the impact that things have on children. And then I've been in quite toxic relationships. So, yeah, it's kind of, for a long time, it kind of really shaped who I was, how I felt about everything, how I felt about life. I was always kind of brought up to believe that, you know, all men were going to treat you badly, that all men were horrible, and, you know, and all that. And sort of a lot of limiting beliefs. So that's kind of probably my background in a nutshell as such.
Yeah. I was going to say, well, actually. Go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, well done for speaking out, though.
Yeah, definitely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's okay. I just, you know, I sort of look at it that I wouldn't want other people to suffer or people that, you know, suffered as a child and are still sort of carrying things around with them to kind of know that, you know, you can be happy again and you can sort of like learn to kind of let things go. I don't mean just let things go because obviously it's not as simple as that.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, just sort of feel happy again and know that, you know,
put yourself first.
Yeah.
I was going to say as well, it's like it's men, the ones that, you know, do them horrible, nasty things. It puts the good men to shame. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, because it is a very touchy subject, and you know, I don't want to be the one to offend anyone out there, but you know, there's times where, you know, I've been in toxic relationships where my ex was, you know, horrible and nasty to me, but it puts other, you know, good men to shame, because when someone does something bad, and then automatically everyone will, you know, look at men as the same.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, it's unfortunate and it's sad because obviously there are good men and women out there.
It works both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Completely. But yeah, that was something I very much believed. And I remember even at Ignite this year, so, you know, not that long ago, having a conversation with somebody and saying, you know, all men will just let you down and so on and so on. And I mean, Ignite was a big thing for me. It was a big, you know, it sort of changed my life. And as I've kind of got into network marketing and I've met more people and, you know, I'm very close to my upline who I work with, he was a massive influence on my life because he made me realise that actually not all men are the same.
Yeah.
You know, I had very bad trust issues. I didn't trust anybody. As far as I was concerned, everybody was a liar. You know, real sort of negative view on people.
Yeah.
And gradually, I've kind of just let myself open up a little bit and accept that not everybody is like that, you know, and that there are some really good, decent, kind people out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely does give you a sort of, I think, a warped impression. Mm. And it is a bit unfortunate on men sometimes.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But it's not just men, like there is some nasty women out there as well, and they put us good women to shame. So like I say, it works both ways. So.
That's true, yeah.
So you're saying you do network marketing. Did you wanna tell everyone about that?
Yeah, so I've been in network marketing for just coming up for 3 years now.
Wow.
And I'm still learning so much every day. Every day is like a learning day. I think with sort of the way things are now in the sort of digital world, you know, things are changing all the time and you've got to be really sort of on the ball and keeping up with everything. So it's always a big learning curve.
Yeah.
When I first started, it was just simply, oh, I'm going to make a little bit of extra money. And, you know, you're told, oh, just post a few times on Facebook and you'll earn all this money. And I said, no, it doesn't quite work like that.
Sorry.
I started doing it full time in January. So I left my full time job that I had. And at the end of January, I started with my current company, which is Vida Divina. And I've never looked back, really. You know, I'm not anywhere near where I want to be, but I don't expect to be at this stage because, you know, things take time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You're learning all the time. But I absolutely love it. You know, when you hear sort of your customers, I've got a customer in America and he's been using RT, and I mean the results that he's had, you know, he's had a lifetime of like being in pain and you know, just sort of really suffering, and the difference that this tea is making to him is just incredible. So it's really rewarding, you know, when you hear that you're helping people and people's lives are being impacted. It's incredible. And you know, I love the products, I love what the company stands for. It's very challenging at times. It can be very testing.
Yeah.
And you certainly meet a variety of people. But yeah, I absolutely love it.
Wow.
So,
you've also sent me a sample. I'm still yet to try this.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. Oh, hopefully you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the right time to try it. So.
Yeah. I mean, I use it because obviously when I joined up, I wanted to try the products first because I do believe that, you know, you have to be passionate about what you're selling.
Yeah.
I would never sell anything that I wouldn't use myself and that I don't truly believe in. So, you know, prior to sort of actually signing up, I was like, right, I want to try the products. And with the tea, I'm gluten intolerant. So also I'm supposed to follow a gluten-free diet and basically I'm just rubbish at it because I just, you know, if you're going to have a burger, you want to have it with bun, don't you?
Oh, God, yeah.
Let's
talk about burgers.
I really don't, there's a lot of gluten-free things that I don't like. It's really expensive and, you know, I just wasn't getting on with it. But of course I was really suffering because I was eating all the wrong things. And I started to find with this tea that as long as I drank, you know, at least a couple of cups a day, I can eat whatever I like and not have any symptoms.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, it's made a massive difference to myself. So, yeah, it's amazing. It's really powerful. But, yeah, you try it when the time's right for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Wow, that's absolutely awesome. I might have to, you know, consider one day.
Hands off my tea.
I love it. So is the tea business, is that in with the health and wellbeing?
Yeah, so all our products, we're not just about weight loss. I think people sort of automatically think that, you know, it's like when I add people and people are like, well, I don't want any weight loss stuff, and I'm like, it's not just about weight loss. The idea behind, so the products were basically made because the CEO, his wife, is a doctor in like Chinese medicine.
All right.
And I think it was 9 years ago now, he collapsed at an event and was rushed to hospital and was diagnosed with, he'd got like tumors on his heart. Basically, he was told that he'd got 6 months to live. He'd got gastric cancer, all sorts of things. And his wife, they turned down all treatment, and his wife basically fed him these powerful medicinal mushrooms. That's kind of the key thing to our products, is these mushrooms. So like chaga mushroom, reishi mushroom, that kind of thing. And basically today he is completely cancer free. Yeah, and they put it down to these mushrooms. So that's why, you know, we never make any medical claims. We don't sort of say, you know, take this and you'll never get cancer, because, you know, we don't do that. But that's why the products were developed. And it's just to give people healthier alternatives. So I use our pain capsules, which are completely natural, because I suffer a lot with headaches and migraines. But I can't, I shouldn't keep taking ibuprofen because I'm asthmatic. So it's about kind of having healthier alternatives. And, you know, we live sort of in a very intoxicated environment these days. You know, a lot of people sort of living on ready meals and things. We're not getting all the nutrients we should be. And the idea of the products is basically to support our bodies in coping, you know, with those sort of stresses of the sort of toxins and stuff. And the tea is our flagship product. So, yeah, it's...
I'm literally shocked about the mushroom thing.
It's, I'd never heard of it in my life until, you know, I looked into it and was going to join up. And my upline said to me, go and Google it. You know, it's all the information's out there. You know, we're not hiding anything. But they are known to fight cancer cells and so on. I mean, the things that the benefits that people are getting, you know, it can help with your blood pressure, all sorts of things. And if you go and research it, it's like, wow. I mean, to look at, if you
so send me the website. I'm off, mate. That's it.
If you used to Google images though, you'd be like, I'm not eating that.
I believe it. Well, I am.
They're not the most pretty of looking things. Oh, and my. I can't stand mushrooms, you know, that you'd normally eat like in your spag bowl and stuff.
Oh yeah.
But you can't tell that they, you know, you don't taste mushroom when you're drinking the tea or anything. But yeah, it's really, really powerful. Wow. Really powerful.
So obviously, because it has claimed to have cured that person, are they actually, you know, using their mushrooms for research to find out whether it was them? Because that would be pretty cool if they did.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't say, okay, you know, he believes that he's still alive and cancer-free because of having the mushrooms. Because, like I say, they turned down all treatment.
Yeah.
And he did follow a very strict diet as well. You know, he was quite overweight, so he did follow a very healthy diet as well. And like I say, if you Google chaga mushroom, you know, there's lots of research and evidence out there that does suggest that they fight off cancer cells, lower cholesterol, you know, that kind of thing. And I think just the fact that, you know, she purely spoon fed him these mushrooms every single day.
Sure.
And that's the results they got. You know, you sort of think, well, wow, how else would that have happened? But like I say, I mean, there is lots of research out there. There's lots of information. So, you know, it's all out there. I mean, I don't know if they've done their own research, if there's other things that they've done. But as I say, his wife is a doctor in Chinese medicine. So whether she kind of had done some research, I don't know. The story of his testimony is on YouTube. And it, you know, is something that we sort of share out to people because it is incredibly powerful.
Of course, yeah.
Bless him.
Amazing.
Yeah, honestly, thank you ever so much for giving us this opportunity. And wow, I'm shocked with with the mushrooms.
I know, who would have thought it?
It's
crazy. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about you, or are you happy? Covered everything, or?
Yeah, I think so. For people to remember that they are worthy. People deserve to live a happy, fulfilled life, regardless of your circumstances. And never give up on your dreams. You might be told that you're stupid all your life, but you're not. We can all do sort of amazing, powerful things. We've all got it in us. We're all much stronger than we think. And just, go out there and live your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely.
Beautiful message.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're absolutely welcome.
You're very welcome. We hope you have a nice day for the rest of the day.
Thank you. I think I'm gonna go and have a nap before I go out.
All right, then, that's awesome. So you take care of yourself and we'll catch up after the show.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We are on air. It's Talk About Friday.